This show is not intended for the politically correct or the close-minded. Enter at the risk of opening your eyes. You have been warned.
Why does the media attack an issue? To get primetime ratings?
In my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in.
The Army Air Forces has announced that a flying disc has been found and is now in the possession of the Army.
A moment comes when we step out from the old to the new, and when the soul of a nation, long suppressed, finds utterance.
To kind of catapult the propaganda.
You are listening to Open Eyes with your host, Ira Robinson. From the normal to the paranormal, from government cover-ups to the depths of our consciousness, we aim to explore all things. From the dawn of prehistory to current events, no topic is forbidden and nothing remains hidden.
No more secrets.
Open your eyes and open your mind to the fact that life as we know it is not as we have been taught. Join us at latenightinthemidlands.com or openeyesnetwork.com as we take this brief journey through the depths of the cosmos and explore what it really means to be human.
Many peoples have sacrificed their liberties only to learn to their sorrow that deceit and mockery, poverty and tyranny are their reward.
Whether you're online or offline, intercontinental or intergalactic, hello, and welcome to Open Eyes. So tonight, I have for you guys what I hope will prove to be a very good episode for you to listen to. I've been looking forward to bringing this one to you for a while now. I'm going to be talking about issues in the health industry and some of the lies that are associated with it, some of the things that we're told on a daily basis that are flat out wrong, flat out lies, and quite frankly, flat out killing us all the time. We're under a ridiculous situation, to say the least, with it all. And I'm going to be sure to get as much into you guys as I possibly can in the short period of time that I'll have. I will have my special guest with me. This is my frequent guest, Joe Long. He's going to be joining me to discuss these health issues because he does have a background in the health industry. I thought it would be very appropriate to have him along for the ride. Before we get into all of that, though, I want to bring you some news. These are some things that I've found that I think are important, and a couple of them are pretty absurd. So for those of you who have not heard, the Russians have now cut off the gas supply coming from Ukraine into the other European countries. In fact, 6 European countries have had the gas cut off from Ukraine. This has the potential to be a pretty bad situation, guys. The main reason why is because it was declared last year, and this, of course, is probably all just saber-rattling and spear-throwing at this point in time, but it was declared last year by the United States and by NATO entirely that if Russia was to do something like this, it would open up sanctions against Russia. So does this mean that the United States is going to start trying to sanction Russia at this point for doing what they said they should not do? We will see. This has the potential to be very bad. I do think, though, that a lot of it is due to distraction. It's there to distract us away from things. Mainly, I think that the bigger issue that's happening underlying wise is the cyber attacks that are going on currently worldwide. I think that the Ukraine issue is going to kind of be pushed forward a little bit to help alleviate some of the cyber attack information that's been starting to leak out. We will see. I'm going to keep a close eye on the situation. I've been paying attention to it for a while. I'll keep an eye on the situation and I'll let you guys know anything that I come across that I feel is going to lead us into trouble or anything along those lines. Just keep an eye on it. Basically, that's my opinion on it at this point in time. It was a 1 mile walk home from a Silver Spring park on Georgia Avenue on a Saturday afternoon. But what the parents saw as a moment of independence for their 10-year-old son and 6-year-old daughter, they say authorities viewed much differently. Danielle and Alexander Mitliev said that they are being investigated for neglect for the December 20th trek, in a case that they say reflects a clash of ideas about how safe the world is and whether parents are free to make their own choices about raising their children. So essentially what this story is talking about is the fact that in Maryland, they have a law that says any child under 13 years old must be supervised by someone over 13 years old at all times, whenever they are at home, shopping, wherever. The only thing that it doesn't state is when they're outside. So that's what the issue is, the clash that's going on. The Children and Family Services in the state is essentially trying to advocate taking away the children from the family because the parents caused them to be endangered by letting them walk alone. Okay, well, this is even more nanny state stuff than we've seen for a while. We're seeing even more of this stuff happening constantly. This is a ridiculous situation. You know, I remember when I was younger that I could roam wherever and whenever I wanted to. Nobody thought anything wrong of it. Nobody thought any different of it. Nobody crossed their eyes sideways at me for doing so. And yet now, oh, there's too much danger. There, danger, danger everywhere. This is ridiculous. And, you know, as well, this is a perfect example of just following orders on the part of the CPS, you know, just my thought on it. But here's the situation locally for me. Yeah, I live here in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We have a problem with our school district here running out of money. And so they're talking about the fact that they are going to have to remove bus services from many of the children that get transported to school, and that anybody who lives within a mile of the school is going to have to walk to school every day. Well, so in a situation like this, where is the law in it? If this same kind of law was implemented here, or they were trying to do something like this here, we're talking a lot of families that are going to have their children taken away because all of these kids are going to have to walk to school every day for at least a mile. This is a ridiculous situation, guys. It really is. Like I said, it really is pushing the nanny state really far. That type of thing really annoys me. And I'm sure it does you too. I'm sure that you as well can see where this kind of stuff is leading us. We're actually going to talk a little bit about the Child Protective Services and some of the issues that go on with it in the segment coming up with Joe Long. It's really a sad state of affairs. When it comes to our children, they keep telling us, oh, protect your children, and oh, it's for the children, and yet then they constantly pull this kind of stuff, trying to yank the children away for the stupidest of reasons. It's crazy. So speaking of children, I ran across another article that I guess you could say really got my goat. street children as young as five are being caged in brutal detention centers alongside adult criminals in a cynical drive to smarten up the Philippines capital ahead of a visit by Pope Francis this week. Hundreds of boys and girls have been rounded up from doorways and roadsides by police and officials and put behind bars in recent weeks to make the poverty-racked city more presentable when Pope Francis arrives. In a blatant abuse of the country's own child protection laws, the terrified children are locked up in filthy detention centers where they sleep on concrete floors and where many of them are beaten or abused by older inmates and adult prisoners and, in some cases, starved and chained. Now, keep in mind that the Philippines is the 39th largest economy in the world. They have a larger economy than places like Finland, Ireland, and Portugal. And these are all countries where something like this would be a matter of national shock and shame. It just, this kind of stuff never ceases to amaze me. Again, how we treat our children in this world is a shameful thing. We are responsible for taking care of our children and for making the place that they live in better and making it so that they have better lives than we did. I mean, isn't that true? It is for me. I know it is for me personally. I want my kids to be better off in every way than I ever was. And I do my damnedest to make sure that they are equipped and armed with the knowledge and information that they need to be able to progress forward in life in a way that they are not just safe, but also empowered to be able to do in their lives anything that they desire to do. And yet you see constantly people are tearing apart their own families because they're trying to obey the rules that are telling them to do the absolute opposite with their children. This is a sad state of affairs. It really is. It makes me so heartbroken to see how we're treating our children. It's a shameful fact that over 300,000 children every year are sold into slavery worldwide. 300,000 children whose lives are essentially ended because of this. And yet no attention is ever paid to any of this. Nobody cares about it. We're losing our empathy on a daily basis. We're getting to the point where we just don't care what happens to anybody else. You know, almost to a person, the people that I have encountered in my life only focus on the fact that they got their beer, they've got their football, or they've got their basketball, and they got their Doritos sitting in front of them. And nothing else matters. They go to work, they come home, they drink their beer, they watch their football, and that's it. They don't care about anything else. They don't give two squats about what's happening to the kid next door as his dad's beating him to death. Or they don't give two squats about the person sitting homeless on the street who needs a jacket, and they're sitting there with 20 jackets in their closet that just are not fashionable anymore. And so they're just sitting there collecting dust. I have known a lot of people like this over the years, and this is a sad state. And how much of that kind of attitude is being driven into us because of all of the lies that we are told on a daily basis about all the divisions that we're made to feel on a daily basis because of the media and because of the politicians and because of the religions? Whatever happened to just being a human being and treating another human being like they are a human being? Whatever happened to that? Can we get to that point again, please? I mean, did we ever have it? I don't know. But I would really love to get to that point. I'm sorry I kind of went off on a tangent there, guys, but this is the kind of stuff that I'm really passionate about. I really want us as a human species to grow and better ourselves every day. We have at the tips of our fingers the internet. It is the greatest repository of human knowledge ever accumulated into one place. And yet people don't use it to learn. People don't use it to try to figure out what their life is all about, or to better themselves, or to enlighten themselves. The fact is that studies have shown that the average person will spend 4 years, 4 years of their life staring at the screen of a cell phone. 4 years of their life for the average person is going to be spent staring at their phone. And yet nobody wants to take the time to learn anything, or to find out the truths about things, or to find out whether or not we're being lied to when it comes to, oh, there's this terrorist attack. Oh, gotta fear. It's a ridiculous situation, and it just makes me sick. So in the absurd news of the day, students are often encouraged to bring canned goods to school for food drives or other charitable events. But administrators at W.F. Burns Middle School in Valley, Alabama, sent a letter home with students on Friday asking them to bring in canned food for a more unusual reason: to throw at a potential gunman. In the letter, the principal, Priscilla Holly, explained that this countering tactic is part of the ALICE method of school safety. The acronym stands for Alert, Lockdown, Inform, Counter, Evacuate. In the event of an intruder, every student will be armed with a canned food item. We realize at first this may seem odd. However, it is a practice that would catch an intruder off guard, she wrote. The canned food item could stun the intruder or even knock him out until the police arrive. The canned food item will give the students a sense of empowerment to protect themselves and will make them feel secure in case an intruder enters their classroom. Oh, sure, that would work. I know that I, for one, read a lot of stories every day about residents or citizens calling the police, and the police respond immediately by throwing a can of tuna at the intruder's face. Haven't you? You've read those stories, haven't you? I mean, what a ridiculous set of circumstances have we come to here? Am I right? I mean, come on, people. I've even heard of offices teaching their employees to have reams of paper sitting at their desk in case of a potential gunman. I've seen the average government office. They're almost exclusively staffed by menopausal women with bad eyesight and terrible aim. How is that going to help them out? If we can protect money in our banks with armed guards, we should be able to do the same for our children. If people can't stomach that idea, then it's even more asinine to say that the standard procedure should be for kids to huddle in the corner when an active shooter breaches the room and do nothing. I mean, the counter thing is a last resort. The people that are coming in and doing all this kind of stuff, they're depraved, crazy people, right? Throwing a can at them isn't going to do much good. I mean, this is the same kind of stupid advice that we were given in the 50s and the 60s when it came to nuclear attack. Oh my God, the Russians are going to hit us with a nuclear bomb. Get underneath your school desks. That's going to protect you. It's the same kind of advice. And I love how the idea of a gunman coming on to these campuses, these school grounds, is just acted like it's a given. Like it's gonna happen. No matter what, it's gonna happen. And yet the idea of an armed security guard or an armed teacher is out of the question. Again, this is just absurd. So guys, we're going to have to take a break here real quick. And when we come back, like I said a little while ago, we're going to have Joe Long joining us, and we're going to talk about some of the lies that go on in regards to our health and in regards to the health industry in general. So I hope that you're going to enjoy it. Stay tuned. We will be back in just a few minutes.
Open Eyes looks for the truth in all things, no matter where it may lead. Whether it is the paranormal, government cover-ups, the dark agenda that the puppet masters are bringing to this world, or aliens and UFOs, no subject is taboo or off-limits. Listen to Open Eyes Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays on the LNM Network at latenightinthemidlands.com or openeyesnetwork.com, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Open hearts, open minds, open eyes.
The Late Night in the Midlands Radio Network is deeply devoted to you, the listener. We feel it is necessary to bring you all of the information that you can use in your life. Each and every day, you will find something to listen to here. And whether you come away from the shows informed, inspired, or entertained, it is our passion. We don't bow to corporations, and we don't have handlers to tell us what not to talk about. We bring you everything. Late Night in the Midlands, however, is fully listener-supported. We need your help to stay on the air and to make sure that we get the bills paid. We need your help to keep the truth alive. If you feel that you have gotten anything out of Late Night in the Midlands, we would appreciate your support. You can become a subscriber and help us out on a monthly basis, or if you'd like, a one-time donation is fully appreciated as well. Every year, the average household in America spends over $3,000 on entertainment alone. If you could help us with just a tiny fraction of that amount, you would make all of the difference. Go to latenightinthemidlands.com and click on the subscribe button. Thank you, and as always, keep yourself informed.
Welcome once again to Open Eyes. Thanks for sticking with us through that break. My name is Ira, and as I mentioned earlier, I have a special guest with me tonight. It's somebody that I am sure you've heard before, and if not, why not? Go back in my archives on openeyesnetwork.com and listen to the shows that have this gentleman on with me. He's always very entertaining. He's my best friend in the world, somebody that I rely on completely. And just love the guy to death, even if I try to claim otherwise sometimes. Joe Long. Joe, are you with me?
Yeah, I'm with you tonight. Claim otherwise? Uh-huh. Right. You'll pay for that one of these days.
I'm sure I have a lot of things to pay for over the years.
Oh, yeah.
So, Joe, I had to bring you on.
Yeah, you got a lot of things to pay for, especially catching the first fish in my new boat and happens to be the biggest bass that's ever brought in it. I'm going to drown you for that one.
Well, Joe, I brought you on tonight because we
are speaking about lies in the medical industry and the things that are surrounding all of that stuff. And given the background that you have, not only medical experience yourself, but the extent of your family that has medical experience, I thought you'd be perfect to come on tonight to talk about some of this stuff, because you have a viewpoint of things that differs slightly from me, even though we agree on most parts.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that's always the case. My viewpoints are always slightly off of yours.
Well, I'm slightly off anyway, so.
Slightly?
So the
you are the strangest person I've ever met in my life, and I know you're the strangest person you've ever met.
I always claim that, and I try to prove it every day. So particularly the item of interest that brought your attention to this episode in particular is the case that is occurring in Connecticut with the young lady who is suffering from cancer, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and has chosen to not go through chemotherapy and pursue other means to find herself a cure or treatment. And the state apparently does not agree with this and is causing all kinds of issues.
Well, not only does she not agree with it, and for those of you that don't know or haven't heard, again, I refer you back to Ira, why not? My name is Joe Long. I am a 40-year-old single father. I am pretty much a jack of all trades. I kind of come at this, as Ira said, as your average Joe, pun intended. I was raised in and around hospitals. I've been raised in and around the medical field for my entire life. My mom has been a nurse for 40 plus years. And
specifically in the oncology field as well.
Yes, she's done heart, cardiac, oncology, and now she's gotten into long-term care, which kind of is a hodgepodge of multiple,
all of the above.
Multiple occurrences of just about anything you can think of. But the case in Connecticut really grabbed my attention a few days ago when I saw it on the news. It sparked me to do a little more digging, a little more research. Not only does the state of Connecticut not believe that this 17-year-old girl or her mother has the right to question the doctor's diagnosis or the treatment plan, they've gone so far as to remove this 17-year-old from her mother's care, put her into foster care, and then forcibly give her the chemotherapy.
Yes, against both her and her mother's wishes completely.
Exactly.
I wonder, all of the articles that I've seen about this girl so far don't mention how long it's going to be before she's turning 18. I wonder how close she is.
She turns 18 in 9 months.
Okay. So she's not that far away from it.
Her course of treatment will end 3 months before she turns 18.
Gotcha. Okay. Go on. Sorry.
Yeah, that's not a problem. I mean, that was one of the things that CBS News actually got right. They don't agree with their decision. They believe that the medical field is all powerful and all knowing and all wise and all wonderful.
Yeah, well, the mainstream media is all about that.
Doctors don't know jack shit.
Yeah.
It's not a good – doctors get all the glory. Nurses do all the work.
Even though I've known many nurses that know more than the doctors do.
Yeah. Namely, the one that you, when you have a medical question, you don't call your doctor. You call me and I ask my mom.
Yeah, I ask the resident nurse in the Long household.
Yeah, pretty much.
And 9 out of 10 times, she's been absolutely correct on everything. The
10th time, you didn't ask her.
Exactly. You know, I've heard a lot of nurses say that when they are in doctor's offices or in the hospitals and that sort of thing, the doctors almost exclusively to diagnose things, first thing they do is go to WebMD.
Oh, God.
Yeah. You know, WebMD is the place that you can go to look for diagnosis of your symptom of a sniffle and you suddenly have cancer. You're dying of cancer in the next month, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I'm sorry. It just is one of those things that makes me sit back, scratch my head and go, what the hell?
Yeah, not to get too far off track, but again, mentioning as far as nurses goes, I have a lot of respect for people that are in the nursing industry just because they have chosen to be nurses because they care about the patients. And I have a lot of respect for people that choose to go along that lines of things, if they're in it for heart, not just for the money, but...
Well, most people that go into nursing, they don't go in it for the money. Yes, the money is good, but they go in it because they want to help people. They want to care for people. That's just the way it is. But back to what we were talking about, not only has the one of the agencies in many states that I've had a lifelong running battle with, in Connecticut, it's called DCFS. In Indiana, it's called Child Protective Services. Whatever it is, it's the same. It's the same basic system. They go in, they say, oh, you're not parenting correctly, we're taking your child. Or they go in and say, oh, look, there's drugs everywhere, you can keep your kids.
Yeah, the Department of Family and Social Services, it really, the whole idea behind it is valuable, yes, but the methodology that happens with it all is foul. It really is. They have been
extremely foul.
They have been proven in extensive cases out there to not only be shills for the medical industry, number one, but number two, they have been proven to remove children from homes where there is no issues really and put them into foster care, and it leads to massive problems. Like, for instance, I toss this out as an example because it's just such a perfect example. I think this case was in Florida where a family was essentially ripped apart because the father was busted with something like a joint's worth of marijuana. And so the Department of Family Services took their child away, who was 2 years old at the time, took their daughter away and put her into foster care. And she was not able to see her parents other than with supervised visitation, something like once every 2 weeks or 3 weeks. The family noticed that there were some issues that were going on with their daughter, and they were trying to get her removed from this foster parent that she was with. And essentially within about 6 months of time, if I remember correctly, the child ended up dead under the care of this foster parent because she was being so heavily abused. And that happens a lot.
Oh, I agree. I mean, yeah, that is the big issue. That is a very big issue. And I know the case, there's another case similar to that that you were discussing that was in Oklahoma where a, you know, mother lost custody of her daughter because she was a drug addict. Fine, great, wonderful. That I have no issue with. But the father was more than willing to take the daughter, but the DCFS in Oklahoma, or it was either Oklahoma or Texas, I can't remember which. I have actually seen the thing on YouTube. They said, no, well, you've got to go do this and you've got to go do that. Well, the foster mother that they had her with beat her to death within a week of placing her because she was too difficult for her. This particular, oh, and this was, oh, we are so shocked. She's one of our best, yada, 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 yet she beat her to death.
Yeah, exactly. And that happens a lot. Now, getting back to the idea with this case. So the Department of Family Services took the girl away from her mother because she was choosing to treat her non-Hodgkin's lymphoma in a way that was not chemotherapy based.
The thing is, the mother and the daughter, they had gotten this diagnosis. The doctor said, you got to do this now or you're going to die. Okay. And there's a 90% success rate with chemotherapy. Okay. They wanted to get a second opinion, for one. And two, they wanted to look into other treatment options. Immediately, her doctors called DCFS. Within, they didn't even have a chance to go get a second opinion or explore different options. Within a week to 2 weeks of her saying, no, we don't want to do this, she's being removed and having a needle shoved in her arm. Now, the family's gotten a lawyer, and the lawyer took this to court, and one court ruled for them, gave them a stay. Wonderful. Great. Then it was appealed to a higher court, to an appeals court in Connecticut, and they backed up the medical profession. So again, it was appealed and it went to the Connecticut Supreme Court, which, not surprisingly, has sided with the hospital. Shock.
Connecticut has some issues to begin with anyways, but again,
it is a ultra blue state to begin with. And yes, I will get into politics and I will jump up on my soapbox and I'll stay there the entire program if I have to. He's seen me do it and people have heard me do it on this program. They are not, it is a liberal socialist mindset where big government and the nanny state is firmly entrenched, and it really aggravates the hell out of me.
Well, it does me too, because people do have the right to choose what they have happen in their lives. That's just flat out. Again, if this child was, and I say child, but if this girl was 18, in other words, if this had happened a year after
if this, it happened a year from now,
there would be no issue.
Right. But because she is 17 and the mother agrees with her, they say, okay, fine, we're going to take you. We're going to make you do this.
Yeah, it's just another example of how the state claims ownership of the children.
Exactly. You know, there are many other examples. You know, there are many other examples in the state that we live in Indiana. Your kids cannot go to school unless they have a laundry list of vaccinations that they have, that are, they are required to have before they go to school.
Okay. And actually on that part, I can actually say argue against, because it is a color of law issue here in Indiana. I dealt with this with my children. It's a color of law issue here in Indiana. There are no regulations or laws on the books that state that they have to be vaccinated, but the schools claim that they do. And because the schools claim that they do, most people don't investigate the fact that, no, in fact, it is our right to choose whether or not they get vaccinated or not. And the school doesn't have a choice in the matter. But they play like they do.
One of the ones, you know, my son is 8 years old. When he went to school, he, thanks to his mother, he has had every vaccination known to mankind, include up to and including flu shots given to him by a doctor that when I specifically told her not to. That was the last time he saw that particular doctor, because I basically pulled my son out of her care and went to a doctor that actually listened to me.
Yeah, and we'll get into the vaccine stuff here in a little while, not to get too sidetracked off of the topic at hand at the moment, but you see how it is. The state claims ownership over our children on a continual basis. They think that they know what is best for our children, even though our children are individuals and need individual care based on their own problems or benefits.
Exactly. A great example of individualized care would be your own son, my dear brother.
Yes.
Seth is autistic, and that presents a whole new, different level of challenge in medical care. And again, we'll get into more about him as we go along in this program, because it definitely directly result.
It relates. It relates. Thank you. It relates very much to the whole vaccine issue and all of that stuff, which again, we'll touch on here in a little while. Now, this girl, though, what is her name? Cassandra Forter? Forter.
Yes, Cassandra Forter.
So she is at this point essentially.
Fortin. Okay. Sorry, folks.
She is essentially now considered or classed as a ward of the state.
Ward of the state, yes.
And they are in control of anything medically that happens to her, including any kind of experimental processes that they want to have or anything like that. And with the federal regulations that occur, when a child is in foster care, they're covered under Medicaid. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what happens with foster children, when they get sick or if something ends up occurring, they will hit them with everything possible because it's a moneymaker, you know, it's a fundraiser essentially.
Definitely. Yeah. And the thing is that it's ridiculous because, you know, her mom and her should have had the ability and the right. And I mean, it is a right. It's her constitutional right to not have to do what she chooses with her body. Because ladies and gentlemen, most states, yes, 18 is the age of majority where you can make decisions about almost everything for yourself, except for drinking, which is one of those ones that I still can't, you know, you can fight and die for your country, but you can't have a beer. That one still kind of messes with my brain a little bit, but you know, that's neither here nor there. But in most states, you can legally have sex at 16. That is what they call the age of consent. So you can legally have sex at 16.
In most states, actually, it's 14 at this point. They've lowered it quite extensively all the way around.
Except for Indiana. They're still 16. Thank God.
The thing here, though, is that so you have this person who has the right to choose whatever it is that they're going to do with their body sex-wise, but they can't choose what they're going to do with their body treatment-wise. You know, they're incapable of deciding, no, I don't want this, or yes, I do want this. In most states, you can't even as a parent have information about whether or not your child is going out and getting an abortion or not. And if they have something side effect happening to them with this abortion, you as the parent then are responsible for whatever happens to that child. But you had no even clue that the child was even pregnant. You see?
Exactly. And also in custody cases, which is something near and dear to my heart, in most states at the age of 14 years old, they take into account where the child wants to live at 14, but he or she can't decide that, oh, I don't want to have toxic waste pumped into my body.
Yeah.
Because exactly. Ladies and gentlemen, chemotherapy is just that. It is toxic material. Yeah. It is toxic waste.
Yeah. It is
distilled, purified, rarefied, but it is toxic waste.
It's a byproduct of the chemical industry, and as opposed to them taking these chemicals and needing to dispose of them in a non-hazardous way and spending a lot of money on it doing so, they have devised ways to sell these chemicals to the pharmaceutical companies to create these chemotherapies. It's just like with fluoride. Fluoride is a byproduct of the aluminum production industry, and they would have to spend exorbitant amount of monies to dispose of it properly because it's a dangerous chemical. But because they have bamboozled the public into thinking that this is a safe material that needs to be ingested in the system to help your teeth for God only knows whatever reason, then they're double dipping. They're making money not just on the aluminum production, but also on the waste byproduct of this aluminum production. It's the same thing.
Exactly. Now I've got something I want to read here, and this is from an actual news report from NBC News in Connecticut. After Cassandra had a portion of her lymph node surgically removed at the hospital, mom and daughter left the hospital against medical advice. Fortin said they were going to seek a second opinion in another state. But the CCMC doctors, who are mandated reporters, called DCFS and raised an issue of parental medical neglect. DCFS went to the Superior Court and won custody and permission to proceed with the treatment. Okay, for those of you that don't quite understand what that means, mandatory reporters are people that are in positions of authority, doctors, ER, psychologists, that are legally bound to report certain things to DCFS or the police department. Like, say you go into a emergency room with a gunshot, they're calling the cops.
Right.
You go in with a stab, they're calling the, you get stabbed, they're calling the cops. Your child goes into a ER covered in bruises, they're calling the cops and DCFS.
Yeah.
The fact that she and her mother left against medical advice should not have triggered a mandated reporting statute. You have the right as a patient, as a parent of a patient, to remove yourself or your child from a hospital or a doctor's office at any given time. It is your right as a patient to seek another opinion.
This isn't the first time that this type of thing has occurred, though. Remember just last year, there was the issue, or was it the year before? There was the issue with the girl Jessica, who in Boston, who had been removed from her family and placed under the as a ward of the hospital because her parents wanted her to be treated for one disorder, and the medical doctors tried to claim that, oh, this disorder doesn't actually exist, so it's all in her mind. Do you remember that?
Yes. Yes.
It's the same thing.
And it actually turned out that the disorder that she, that her parents claimed she had, is exactly what she had.
Exactly. And the child almost died because of the way that the hospital ended up treating her. She was removed from her parents. They were not allowed to see her in any way. On and on and on. It's the exact damn same thing. And it really ticks me off all the way around. It really does. This is insanity.
It is. It is mass insanity. You know, in Indiana about 20 years ago, maybe more, you remember the, there was a group of people in Indiana that believed in faith healing.
Yes.
I can't remember what they were actually called, but their children, a child, and two or three of them are still sitting in jail because, for basically manslaughter, because they refused to provide medical treatment to their child. They prayed, they were trying to pray them well, which is their religious beliefs. After these children got very sick, the state came in, removed the children. They still ended up passing away because by the time they got them to a hospital, there was nothing they could do. And then they arrested the parents. Now, what I'm going at is a very extreme case, but it's still that parent's right. If it is a religious belief, or it doesn't even have to be a religious belief, it's their right to treat the children in their own way.
Yeah. And unfortunately, and what it comes down to is that the state claims, well, they're harming the children by their inaction.
Yeah. And it was cases like that that have come up with the quote unquote medical neglect laws that are now in place.
Right.
My son's 8 years old. He has a seizure condition. No, he's not epileptic. He has another form of seizure condition. But there are times that he's not had what they call a grand mal or a full body seizure since the first time that he presented with this disorder. He's had a couple of small petite mals, you know, tensing up, or as his neurologist calls it, aphasic seizures, where he literally just kind of zones out for a few seconds.
Right, they blank out, yep.
Now, I know the warning signs. I've watched for the warning signs. I've become very well versed in them. And I don't have to drag him into a doctor's office or an ER or even call his neurologist every time he has one. Because they happen rarely, you know, maybe once or twice, you know, every 6 months. And that's usually about the time that the medication he's on, the amount that he's getting and his growth rate have gotten to the point where they are far enough apart that it's time to up his dose. So when those start occurring, yes, I'll call his neurologist. She'll ask me a few questions, maybe do a blood draw, and then she'll bump his medication up. But according to these, me not taking him into the doctor every single time would be medical neglect.
Right. And That is the craziness that's involved with all of this. You see, the problem that I have, I guess, with all of this is that we are told as parents that we're responsible for everything that happens to the child. But when we try to take responsibility for the child, we're then told, no, you're not acting responsibly enough. So the line is completely delineated. There is no line. You see what I mean? They're always pushing that boundary to say, okay, this is not right. You see, I mean, this Supreme Court case, this opens up a pattern of things. Now, yeah. This Supreme Court ruling is going to allow them to do this to anybody else that they want to do this with.
True. Now, the thing is, though, that you have to understand, Ira, this isn't a U.S. Supreme Court.
I understand that.
Only in Connecticut.
I understand that, but that's still my point. In that state, they're going to be allowed to do whatever it is with the children that they want to do if they are feeling that this is not, that they're not complying correctly with the medical industry.
Exactly. And, you know, this is from somebody who's grown up around the medical industry. It used to be that all hospitals were nonprofit. More and more now, we are starting to get for-profit healthcare systems. And their bottom line is their bottom line.
Yeah.
It's not patient care. It's the bottom line.
Yeah. The medical industry is huge business. It is massive business. And it's been this way for
$100 billion a year.
Yes. It's been this way for a long while now. As soon as doctors basically stopped caring for the patients and started treating the patients, it became something different. As soon as they stopped trying to cure and discovered that there is more money in the treatment than the cure, that's when healthcare ended and the industry began.
And this is a conversation that my brother and I've had many times about the dictator care. For those of you that don't understand what I mean, we are talking about the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare.
Yeah, which,
or
by the way,
we lovingly call the Great Dictator.
Yeah, which, by the way, this year is the first year that the fees, the tax, is going to be impacting people. So if you don't have insurance yet, you're going to be paying out $95 this year for the fact that you don't have insurance. Unless
Actually,
you get a waiver.
If you did not have insurance last year.
That's what I'm meaning. Yeah, sorry. I keep forgetting
You'll
that we're now in 2015.
Right. It would have been if you did not have health insurance, and I believe it was by March 14th, but I don't see how they can actually determine when and where you had health care. I really can't, unless it's on your W-2, which more than likely it will be. But fine. You know, you're going to pay $95.
Next year, it's $395. And the year after that, it's $1,105.
Unless somebody does something. And if you think that the new Republican Congress is going to get anything done, boy, you're optimistic.
Yeah, well, they've already shown their true colors already at this point. So,
no, how'd they do that? I must have missed that
one. We'll get into that one in a different episode. But anyways.
Yeah, we'll discuss that later.
Yeah.
But with Obamacare and the, I mean, it's just, there's more and more of what you're seeing now as far as cases like this. You're going to start seeing more and more of them with Obamacare.
It has to be done with Obamacare. The problem with Obamacare is that, again, they have this 1,600-page document that they were supposed to read in a 3-day period of time and had to sign without reading it because, oh, well, we'll find out what's in it after it's been passed.
Thank you, Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah, exactly. So now we're seeing the side effects of all of this. What we're seeing happening.
Side effects, no. Direct effect.
Well, yeah.
This was a direct effect. This is intended harm.
The big issue with it is that they have now made it mandatory to opt into something.
Right. They're using the Commerce Clause in a way that was never meant to be used. Well, and they point to, well, you have to have car insurance. Yeah, if you drive. You have to own car insurance if you drive. But if you don't own a vehicle, or you don't have a driver's license, or you don't drive, you don't have to buy car insurance.
Yeah, but see, we're alive. We have to be alive, so we have to have health insurance.
No, you don't.
I know, but that's the argument against it, you see.
The thing is, up until this year, and I'm talking 2014, not 15, last time I had health insurance was 2009. You know how many times I've seen a doctor in that particular time span? Zero. None. At all. The only doctors I saw from 2009 to 2015 were eye doctors because I wear contacts. And I would go in, I would put my money on the table, I would pay for my eye exam, I would pay for my contacts, and I would leave. So you tell me, why on God's green earth do I have to have health insurance?
Because you're a plague on society if you don't, apparently. You see, this is the medical industry
at
work.
No, that would be my ex-wife. Ooh, damn.
You see, this would be the medical industry at work, though. They have gotten in bed with the insurance companies. They've been in bed with them all along. The government has now gotten directly involved in it. Everybody's getting kickbacks, and we're the ones that are paying the price for it.
Exactly. The lies of, oh, you'll keep your doctor. The health care costs will go down. It'll only cost $100 million. What was it? $800 million.
Yeah. Well, the website alone cost over that much.
Right. I mean, now we're talking in the trillions.
Yes. Trillions now, is what it comes down to. Exactly. And
you won't get to keep your doctor. You won't get to keep your plan. Basically, they're going to bend you over and give you the old prostate exam without the benefit of the KY jelly.
Exactly. But, you know, hey, that's still a medically accepted practice, right?
Snap, I guess so.
But look, see, here's the problem that I have as far as the medical industry goes. These people with their white lab coats and their names and their numbers and letters behind their names always talk out of their butt. Okay. They are constantly saying, we know what we're talking about. Bow down before us, you great unwashed masses, you proles who don't know what you're talking about. You have no clue. We are saving your lives here. We're the great gods of the medical industry, and you cannot argue against us. Look, until 1985, 30 years ago, up until 30 freaking years ago, they did not use anesthesia on babies because they thought that they did not feel pain. Okay.
Ira, you remember a movie called Harmful Intent?
Yes.
There's a great line from Alec Baldwin in that movie, and it sums up pretty much the attitude of most doctors. Not all, but a lot of them. And the quote was, you say I have a God complex, I am God.
Exactly. Every freaking doctor that I've ever met has had this huge ego God complex, and that whatever it is that they say is the absolute strict 100% fact, and nobody can tell them any differently until they find out something different, and then they say, oh, well, we were incorrect about that, but here's how it really is now. You see, look, how many times has this happened in just our lifetimes alone, Joe? I'm going to throw this out here. How many times in just our 40 years has this kind of thing happened? Eggs are good for you. Eat as much eggs as you can possibly get a hold of because they're good for you. The protein in them, on and on and on, full of vitamins and minerals. You need to eat eggs. Okay, well, eggs are actually bad for you, so don't eat any eggs. Okay, well, now the eggs are good for you, but the yolks are bad. Only eat the whites. Don't eat the yolks. The yolks are bad for you. okay, now the yolks are fine. The whites are bad. So don't eat the whites because the whites are bad. How many times has that crap happened in just our 40 freaking years of life?
Oh, yeah. Well, not it's not just eggs. It's bacon. Sausage. Yes. I mean, you name it. If it tastes, you know, it used to be the old adage was if it tastes good, it must be bad for you. And then it shifted to if it tastes good, it's good for you.
Yeah.
Which is why, you know, which is one of the reasons why I very rarely look at a label. If I likes to eat something, I'm going to eat it because I likes to eat it.
Yeah.
If I get sick from it, oh, well.
Okay, yes. You're the type of person that does not get sick from eating anything. Guys, I'm going to give this as an example. Because you're talking about the man right here who has the iron constitution, and I'm not trying to sidetrack here at all, but I gotta tell this. So one day, as Joe and I were living together at one point in time, he had made some beef and noodles. They were excellent, they were awesome, but they sat on the stove for the next week and a half in this pot. And this pot was sitting there rotting. Week and a half after he cooks these beef and noodles, he walks out with a ladle, digs up a whole big mass of it from the middle of it, pops it right into a bowl, and starts munching away. I'm gagging my butt off. Just even thinking about the things that he's chowing down on. And he's like, it's good. It's warm. I didn't even have to heat it up. It's because it's rotting, dude. Of course it's hot. Oh my, and he was fine. Nothing happened to him at all. I swear to God, nothing happened to him at all. It was the most disgusting display I had ever seen in my life, and I swore he was going to die the next day. Nope, just fine. Anyway, so you saying if it tastes good, I'll eat it is kind of wrong to the rest of the world.
I mean, the thing is,
you'd walk up to Mount Pele, lava. That tastes good.
Not quite. I've never been a big fan of spicy food, though. But the thing is, folks, they say that you can. Again, my brother will confirm this. He and I'll go to a breakfast buffet. I'll eat 2 pounds of bacon on my first plate.
Yeah, we'll go to a breakfast buffet and it's nothing but bacon. The whole freaking dinner and breakfast is nothing but bacon.
Bacon, sausage, little eggs, maybe some biscuits and gravy.
Just for color.
Bacon, more bacon. You know, bacon with a bacon chaser. But the thing is, I just recently had a wellness check for insurance. My cholesterol level was spot on normal. And they took blood and did everything. The only problem I had was my good cholesterol was everything else was textbook perfect. And yet I eat everything that I'm not supposed to.
Right. You see, it's a perfect example of the fact that your diet is designed for your body. You will crave the foods that your body is requiring. You're going to crave the things that your body is needing. And the diet that you have is the diet that you need to stick with, basically, because it's what's keeping you alive, right? So
exactly.
And this is a perfect example of it, because everybody's diet is different. Everybody requires different things. You know, someone like me can eat 2 pounds worth of bacon, but my wife eating 2 pounds of bacon is going to keel her over, you see.
And she absolutely adores bacon, yes. But she knows she can only have just so much of it.
Yes, exactly. My mom can't digest pork properly, but I can eat as much pork as I want to. You see, so it's everybody's diet is different and everybody has to act upon those types of things accordingly. It reminds me of the old story.
The medical industry wants everybody to eat and do. They want us all to be little drones.
Yes, exactly.
They want us to eat what they tell us to, drink what they tell us to, stay in the sun for just as long as they tell us to, and not in any more than that.
They tell you now, don't even go into the sun. If you go out to the sunlight, then you're going to die. But look, where do we get vitamin D from? From the sun. We have developed for hundreds upon thousands of years in the sunlight. Okay.
Right. We are not nocturnal animals.
Although, well, some of us are.
Some of us are.
But the point
some
is...
some of us are nocturnal, not by choice.
Yes. But see, the point is that they want to do these types of things as a control factor. The health industry is a control factor for the public.
I'm looking through some of my material here, and one of the things that I came across, which just blew me away, and... this is kind of getting off the point, but when a baby is born in a hospital, they do everything in their power to get a mother to breastfeed. I am all for that. You know, my daughter is 8 months old. Her mother breastfed her for as long as she could, but my daughter really didn't attach. She didn't take to breastfeeding. She didn't latch on properly because, one, my daughter was born at 3 pounds, 15 ounces. Now that could be because her mother didn't eat right, or there was some other underlying medical issues that were not identified during the pregnancy. But my daughter is perfectly and absolutely perfect. She was born small, but she is a perfectly healthy, developing normally little girl. But they really push breastfeeding. Great. In my opinion, sometimes they go a little too far. They're a little too overzealous. I mean, they actually didn't want to give my daughter formula at the hospital until I put my foot down and said, look, she's not eating properly. She's not latching on. She's not taking, you know, she got the colostrum, which is the most important thing for a baby to get.
Right.
Because that's got all the antibodies and immunities and whatnots. Yeah. That's a real precise medical term. Whatnots. You know, we had this lactation counselor come in, and I called her the lactation Nazi. Whew. I mean, it was, you little breastfeed, nine, nine. Yee. It's like, lady, look, she's not doing it. There was a story I ran across about a family that not only were they trying to breastfeed, but the mother had the children at home. And they were going to try to take her babies away from her because she didn't use a hospital.
Like they birthed at home, you mean? Or
yeah, it was a home birth.
Okay, and see, that's actually a more common thing than people actually realize. A lot of people give home births. This is that
exactly.
That's crazy. Why would they want to take the child away because it was home birthed? Is the child fine?
Yeah, everything was fine.
So what's the point?
I'm trying to look through my notes here. It was one of those ones that it just kind of,
The headline stirred you up. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Well, listen, we actually have to get a break here real quick. When we come back from the break, I want to go into some of the things as far as vaccinations are concerned. I really want to touch on that topic tonight because it's one that is near and dear to my heart and not in a good way. And I would love to get more into some of the other lies that we're being told continuously when it comes to the medical industry and the things that they try to hide from us on a constant basis. So stick around with us, folks. We'll be back in just a few minutes after this break. To hide the truth once you know it makes you think that you are better than everyone else. It makes you into the type of person who says, "Ooh, I have a secret, but you're not ready to hear it yet." However, for $39.95, I'll let you in on the secret. You'll lead the people to the promised land for the cheap price of 3 easy payments of 1/3 of their soul apiece. The Late Night in the Midlands Radio Network is deeply devoted to you, the listener. We feel it is necessary to bring you all of the information that you can use in your life.
Each and every day, you will find something to listen to here. And whether you come away from the shows informed, inspired, or entertained, it is our passion. We don't bow to corporations, and we don't have handlers to tell us what not to talk about. We bring you everything. Late Night in the Midlands, however, is fully listener supported. We need your help to stay on the air and to make sure that we get the bills paid. We need your help to keep the truth alive. If you feel that you have gotten anything out of Late Night in the Midlands, we would appreciate your support. You can become a subscriber and help us out on a monthly basis, or if you'd like, a one-time donation is fully appreciated as well. Every year, the average household in America spends over $3,000 on entertainment alone. If you could help us with just a tiny fraction of that amount, you would make all of the difference. Go to latenightinthemidlands.com and click on the subscribe button. Thank you, and as always, keep yourself informed. Open Eyes is dedicated to finding the truth in all matters. We are not afraid to be politically incorrect or to ask questions. Whether it is the paranormal, government cover-ups, the dark agenda that the puppet masters have in store for us, or aliens and UFOs, nothing remains hidden. Listen to Open Eyes, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on latenightinthemidlands.com or openeyesnetwork.com. Open hearts, open minds, open eyes.
Hello and welcome back to Open Eyes. My name is Ira and we are having a really good conversation with Joe Long. He has been a dear friend to me and I hope that you have been enjoying the conversation that we've been having as well. We've been talking about the medical industry and some of the lies that go on with it. And we've talked a little bit about the case that was going on or that is going on with the young lady in Connecticut who has chosen to essentially find alternative means of treatment for the cancer that she has. I wanted to talk a little bit real quick about something as far as these alternative cures for cancer are concerned, the medical industry is so focused on the idea that there is no cure for cancer, that the only way to get rid of cancer is to inundate your body with these different chemical concoctions that they come up with that are so toxic and destructive to the body that it supposedly kills the cancer that's within your system. And yet they then turn around and say, well, we think that you're free of cancer, so we're going to consider this cancer to be in remission. And every time that they say this, it's always within this 5-year time frame. What ends up occurring is if a cancer goes into remission and it doesn't show itself again within 5 years, then it's considered to be cured. It's considered to be in remission and has gone away. However, if a different cancer then pops its head up later, or if it's the same cancer, I think in most cases it is, the same cancer pops its head up again after that 5-year period, then it's considered to be a new cancer and has to be treated, therefore, as a new cancer in the body, even though it is probably the old cancer just coming back because the body has processed the toxins away from you and is now, you know, able to flourish again. Joe, what do you think about that?
That is standard medical doublespeak. I mean, they're not going to, they say, oh, there's no cure for cancer. We can put it into remission and it might reoccur, or this is a new cancer. But there's them saying there's no cure for cancer is an outright lie.
The one cure that I know of for a fact I know works is to use baking soda and blackstrap molasses. The two chemicals combine. It cures. It is a cure for cancer. Look at Michael Vera, the owner of Late Night in the Midlands network here. His father-in-law was cured using this method. Cured. Gone. Completely. Dumbfounds the doctors. I mean, heck though, for that matter, Riscala, the host of Red Pill Reality on Late Night in the Midlands on Saturdays, has cured himself, I believe it's twice, with the same regimen, just baking soda and blackstrap molasses. Meanwhile, the American Cancer Society is making money hand over fist and tossing money like crazy at the pharmaceutical companies to quote unquote find a cure. Right there is your damn cure. What, $20 worth of materials will cure your cancer compared to thousands of dollars to treat you with chemotherapy that not only is not going to cure the cancer, but is going to devastate your body while it's doing it. So what do you think about that?
What I think about that is very simple. I said it many times during the course of this program, Ira. There is no money in curing cancer. The money is in treating it. It is all about money. And it's not just the pharmaceutical companies that are making this money. It's also the FDA. And I'm sorry, there's a lot of people out there who think the FDA is a good thing. It's not.
No,
you want to know the reason healthcare in this country costs as much as it does? One of the primary reasons is the FDA. Well, it takes anywhere from 15 to 20. It takes anywhere from 10 to 15 years for a new drug to be approved through their process normally. And then for the companies to recover the money that they have used in R&D costs, they have to charge massive prices for these drugs. Hell, there's one antibiotic that is on the market that is designed to fight these super infections, these super viruses and super bugs. They cost $10,000 a dose, not for the course of the treatment, but per dose.
And that's ridiculous, isn't it?
I agree.
And here's the issue as well. This is one big issue that I have with the FDA, is that the people that get put in charge of the FDA have extreme ties to the pharmaceutical industry. They have ties to the companies that they have direct approval authority over. So if the, let's say that, for instance, and this has happened, the head of the FDA during the time of George Bush was placed there by George Bush at the behest of Donald Rumsfeld. Okay. And he was in charge of the company that created aspartame. Aspartame had been considered not safe for consumption before this person who got put into place at the behest of Donald Rumsfeld got put into charge of the FDA. And suddenly now it's safe to use. It was approved. Everything goes forward. And it was the company that Donald Rumsfeld was the CEO of.
The thing is, and this leads into another topic that you and I want to discuss tonight, things like aspartame, things like Sweet and Low, NutraSweet, these artificial sweeteners, they're not good for you.
Not at all.
Nobody ever said they would. Do I drink? You, my dear brother, drink all natural beverages now. You've gone to tea and honey and, cane sugar. Me, unfortunately, I'm still fully addicted to my Diet Pepsi.
And I've talked to you many times about how bad that is for you. But again, the iron gut, so.
Well, Christ, there's one guy that I work with that keeps telling me, drinking that diet crap's worse for you than cigarettes. And you know what I tell him? Everybody's got to die of something.
And that's your choice. That's fine. But here's the issue that I have with it all. Again, the FDA, the people that are put in charge of it, either have come from the companies that then they're responsible for dealing with and approving, or after they leave the FDA, are hired in by the companies that they approved the drugs of.
I agree.
I mean, hello, conflict of interest, right?
Exactly. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's been proven that aspartame can cause cancer. It's, yeah, there we go, cancer. Here we go again. Heck, I actually recently ran into a young lady who had what was called aspartame poisoning. She was drinking a lot of Diet Pops, which contain aspartame, which is a very popular sweetener now. And she was getting very lightheaded. She was getting disoriented. And it turned out that she had this aspartame poisoning and it nearly killed her. That did make me think for a few minutes that maybe I should stop drinking Diet Pops. Then I kept right on drinking them.
Yeah. See, here's the problem. I think as far as your situation is concerned, and this is something that people don't normally think of, and I really try to push this because I do think that this has a really large impact on how we act and how we do things. Our bodies are only 10% of what is us. The other 90% is bacteria and viruses and so forth that are living within us, that are colonies that are living within us. And the gut bacteria has been shown to change your mental status. And I really do think that the bacteria in our gut gets addicted to certain substances. And that we then crave those certain substances and can't get away from them because the bacteria and the viruses that are within us are basically telling our brains, hey, we need this, get it in us.
Oh, we've had that discussion and I don't doubt it in the slightest that that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah, here's an article. I was just looking it up. The article titled "Gut Bacteria Affects Mental Health." You see, I mean, it's. I'll have that article linked up on my website for this show notes for this show. It's a really interesting and fascinating thought. I mean, you think about it. There's parasites that are for different insects that will get into the insect's mind and will mind control them into doing certain things. I think the same thing occurs with the bacteria that's inside of us. It's a parasitic type of environment. They do actually have a semblance of control over us. Now, we're getting completely off topic from what I really wanted to talk about in this last half here. We really need to touch on the vaccine thing, because I really, there's a lot that's going on right now in the media that is really pushing forward the vaccine agenda. And it's a really, it's a ridiculous state of affairs that's going on. Let me read this off to you here real fast. This is from an article that I found just a little while ago, just to touch us into this subject. Okay. In Washington state, officials have apparently now mandated that all foster parent families must get their entire households, including young children, vaccinated with the influenza vaccine as a requirement for keeping any foster children. So here we have a situation where it is now being mandated that in some way or another, the whole household is vaccinated against the flu. We see this happening sometimes in, like, for instance, in the medical industry, if you work at a hospital or a nursing home or whatever, as a part of the job requirement, you have to get the flu shots every year, even though they've been proven to be ineffective.
Not only do you have to have flu shots, you also have to be vaccinated for Hep A, B, and C.
Yeah, exactly.
I was actually going through school to become a paramedic, and I had to make sure I'd have TB test. I also had to have the Hep A and B. Luckily, I didn't have, the vaccine for the C was not available when I was going through this, but I had to have the Hep A and Hep B vaccinations. And I actually was reading, you brought up the same story that I was about to bring up myself.
Great minds think alike.
Yeah. Well, the thing that really caught my attention about this particular story is that the story is about a foster parent named Jamie Smith, who has had several foster children come through her home. She's one of the better foster parents. As a matter of fact, she has adopted several of the foster kids that she's taken care of, including a 4-year-old little girl. And 2 weeks ago on Christmas, another child came into her home, her own born daughter, who's 2 weeks old. Now, the state of Washington is saying, unless everybody in the house is vaccinated, they will take away her own daughter, her physical, biological daughter.
Right, exactly.
Because she's a foster mother, and she's not everybody in the house is vaccinated.
Exactly. And see, that right there is part of this whole vaccine agenda. This is just the start of the mandating the vaccines. Mandate, you get vaccines or these children are taken away. We're seeing it right now happen, I think, with the whole Disneyland debacle that's going on at this point in time, where, what is it, 25 children at this point have
19.
No, it's up to 25. I saw this earlier tonight. Well, anyways, somewhere around 20 children have contracted measles after they have visited Disneyland and come into contact with apparently somebody that had measles. And so now all of these other children are getting measles and it's starting a epidemic. Oh, my God. You know, OK, well, here's my issue with this. How do we know that it was an unvaccinated child that started this epidemic?
That we don't know. We have absolutely no clue. Yes, measles has been virtually wiped out in this country. There are still cases of measles that happen every year. They're small outbreaks, not epidemics. That is that fear buzzword that the CDC loves to use.
Oh, yes.
It's an epidemic. It's an epidemic of biblical proportions.
Oh, yes.
Blow it out your biblical portholes. The thing is that while, yes, it is virtually eradicated in the United States, it's not in other countries. There are other countries where measles is still a fairly common childhood disease.
Yes.
And we're talking about Disneyland, one of the most popular vacation destinations in the world.
Well, and as far as this is concerned, the suits that these people wear, you know, the costumes, the Mickey costumes and all of that kind of stuff, there is a serious ick factor regarding those costumes, to say the least.
I tend to agree with you. I took my son to Disney World last summer, and it was a very hot, you know, going to Disney World in June in Florida.
Hot, sweaty experience. I would say that it would not shock me to find out that there's not a person within the Mickey suit, but that it's just a big colony of bacteria and viruses running around going.
No, I'm not quite up on that, but I mean, these are they are heavy felt and foam rubber suits that these guys are wearing, which those are actually a perfect breeding ground for colonies of bacteria.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point. Who says that somebody didn't touch them, you know, and suddenly now this is outbreaking on their costumed hands and all this kind of stuff and spreading all over the place. Look, here's the thing. Here's the thing. They're trying to claim that this whole measles outbreak, and they are screaming it right now that it's because of the anti-vaxxers, that it's their fault that this stuff is outbroken, and it's because of the people who just question whether or not the vaccines are safe or not are all at fault for it. But here's a good question. Here's a very good question that I don't see anybody asking. How many illegal immigrants have flooded into this country and maybe were at Disney World at that time? And how many of those illegal immigrants come from countries that measles is very outbroken at?
Yes, that's exactly what I was trying to get across is, you know, this is Disneyland in California. California has a very, very large illegal immigration problem. Very large. If they're illegal immigrants and they, you know, coming from these poor countries, how is it they had the money to get into Disney World? They work there, people. They can't work here legally. It ain't real hard to get a fake ID. And I can guarantee you a place the size of Disneyland. And this is coming from somebody who went to Disney World in Florida. There were a very large immigrant population working there.
Yes.
Hell, just this summer, not last summer, this summer, I took a trip to one of my favorite amusement parks in the world, Cedar Point. Great place to go. Love it. If you love roller coasters, you got to make the trip to Sandusky, Ohio, people. That's my little plug. Done with it. The point I'm trying to make is they hire people from other countries to come to work at the park. It has it right on their little name tag. Name where they're from. And there were people there from pretty much every country you can imagine. Who's to say that these people didn't come from a country that they don't vaccinate for measles? And while they may not be sick, they may not actually have any symptoms of measles, they could still have had it at some point in their life and are still a carrier of the disease.
Exactly. And that's the thing as well, is that it has been proven that when you get vaccinated with these vaccines, you become a carrier of the disease that you're being vaccinated against. It has been proven.
Exactly.
Your skin cells and everything, they'll be offshooting the measles virus for the rest of your life.
Which means that you and I both are that way.
Yeah.
Because I know I had the MMR, you know.
I had the measles vaccine. Listen, here's a personal story with it. I had the measles vaccine, and yet somehow I still contracted chickenpox, measles, and mumps at the same time. It about killed me.
Yeah, it would. Everybody's, oh, well, the chickenpox, that's nothing serious. Ladies and gentlemen, the chickenpox are a variant, a same family as the measles. It's a different form of measles, but it is still the measles, people. It's a mutated version of it.
Yeah, that's just become its own disorder.
Pretty much every kid in the United States at some point in their life, unless they have had the chickenpox vaccine, which is a fairly recent development, ladies and gentlemen, has had chickenpox, which means that also now the virus that causes chickenpox is living in your system And one out of four of you will get a condition known as shingles. And believe me, that's not something you want.
Yeah.
It hurts.
Yeah.
Badly.
Like I said, listen, here's the thing as well. And I definitely want to press with this because I want to hit this before this episode ends, which we've got about 15 minutes left or so. It is very well known that the adjuvants that they use with the vaccines are dangerous. I have talked about this on my show before. I'm going to talk about it often because this stuff needs to get out there. Okay. In the March 2014 issue of The Lancet, they flat out state that things like fluoride, mercury, arsenic, lead, all of these things are on the same neurotoxic level as each other. Okay. They also toss in aluminum as a neurotoxin. Aluminum is extremely neurotoxic, and yet it is in and admitted to be within the vaccines.
They use it as a they use that and mercury as a preservative in these vaccines.
I'm going to read off a little bit of a from a study that was done. This was done by the Neural Dynamics Research Group from the Department of Ophthalmology and Visual Sciences at the University of British Columbia, Vancouver, BC. This is the abstract of the study that was done. Okay. Aluminum is an experimentally demonstrated neurotoxin and the most commonly used vaccine adjuvant. I can never say the word right.
Adjuvant.
Despite almost 90 years of widespread use of aluminum adjuvants, medical science's understanding about their mechanisms of action is still remarkably poor. There is also a concerning scarcity of data on toxicology and pharmacokinetics of these compounds. In spite of this, the notion that aluminum in vaccines is safe appears to be widely accepted. Experimental research, however, clearly shows that aluminum adjuvants have a potential to induce serious immunological disorders in humans. In particular, aluminum in adjuvant form carries a risk for autoimmunity, long-term brain inflammation, and associated neurological complications, and may thus have profound and widespread adverse health consequences. In our opinion, the possibility that vaccine benefits may have been overrated and the risk of potential adverse effects underestimated has not been rigorously evaluated in the medical and scientific community. So right here we have a study that was done showing that aluminum is neurotoxic and that it has extreme adverse health effects.
Including immunological effects. Has anybody wondered why the level and number and reactions of allergens has increased exponentially from the 1940s and 1950s to today? In the 1940s and 1950s is when they started introducing things like mercury, aluminum, and these other adjuvants into vaccines. And subsequently, the number of autoimmune diseases such as Crohn's, allergies, those are the two biggest ones I can think of, have increased. Neurological problems have been increasing exponentially.
I can attest to that personally. And
including one that has affected my dear brother, hardcore, autism.
Yes. For those of you who may not know, those of you who may be new listeners, I have a son who's 13 years old named Seth. He is extremely autistic. He is on the severe scale of autism. In particular, he has childhood disintegrative disorder. At 2 years old, up until he was 2.5 years old, he was a completely healthy, normal child, developing completely normal. He had been potty trained, was talking, walking, everything. At 2.5 years old, he had his MMR. And within 2 weeks, he started showing signs that he was losing his abilities. He had gotten sick after this MMR vaccine was injected into him. And the basically within the next 2 months, he lost everything, lost his ability to talk, lost his ability to be potty trained, lost his ability to walk. We literally had to take him as if he was a newborn infant and raise him again. And it was devastating to our family. And you can't tell me that it did not have anything to do with the vaccine. I know that it had to do with the vaccine. There is not one single person in the world who can point their fingers at me and say, you're wrong. I'm right. I know I'm right. I saw it happen firsthand. And until you have a child that has gone through this, until you have a child that you have watched go from a completely normal, healthy child immediately after the vaccine being devastated, until you have experienced that for yourself, shut up, because I don't want to hear your words. Go on, Joe.
I don't know how to follow that. Really, I don't, because I was there. I watched my nephew disintegrate. And I watched Ira disintegrate. And it took every bit of me, every bit of compassion, every bit of strength that I had to keep him from completely falling apart. And it's made me now, with my own son, with his seizure disorder, which we have discovered through many hours of careful research, both myself, my brother, and my mom, who is a medical professional, that it was not the vaccines that he has received over his life that caused this. This was a genetic, this was a birth defect.
Yeah,
this
genetic defect, basically.
No, it wasn't genetic. It was there was a causal effect, but it was, again, caused by medicine.
Yes.
His mother took antidepressants before he was born, and that antidepressant is one of the key causes. That and other, as they call them, there's a specific word, and I can't think of it right
tertiary?
Now.
Tertiary?
No, it's a specific medical term that is used for toxins and things that can harm a fetus in utero.
Oh, okay.
And one of them is the ink from tattoos, because it is heavily laced with mercury.
Yes.
And other heavy metals. And
yeah, like cobalt and that sort of thing.
Yeah. And my ex-wife, while she was pregnant, got not one but two tattoos. So that is what caused his seizure disorder. It's actually a small portion of his gray matter did not leave the white matter of his brain, so it does cause this. But I've been very leery of the whole vaccination process ever since I saw what happened to Seth. Now, has my son had all of his vaccinations? Yes. Do I let them give him a flu shot anytime? He's had one flu shot in his entire life. And that was specifically against my direct wishes. My ex-wife actually, I think, okayed it. And that's yet another reason she's my ex-wife. Now, I will say I've had one flu shot in my entire life. And I got, as my brother has attested, I have a constitution that's made out of forged adamantium. And yes, that is for the geeks in our audience, they'll know exactly what I'm talking about. The one time I got a flu shot, I got so sick that I was off work for 3 days. And you cannot tell me that I got sick when I had not had the flu or a cold in years, and that I get this flu shot and I'm on my back for 3 days. You can't tell me there wasn't a direct correlation between the two.
Yeah, exactly.
You cannot tell me that.
And that happens
because
often.
I've lived through it.
That happens often. I can't tell you how many people I run across that say, oh, yeah, well, I don't get the flu. The worst flu I ever got was when I had the flu shot. The worst flu I ever got was when I had the flu shot. Well, what's the frickin' point of getting the flu shot if it's going to give you the flu? Okay, this is like the side effects that you see on medications. I swear to God, I saw this ad the other day talking about, okay, we have this medication that will help you with your dry eye condition. It's a pill that you take every day, and it helps you to not have dry eyes. But after taking the pill, your side effects are going to be headaches, possible hemorrhages, gastrointestinal disorders, on and on and on. And it's like, well, what's the frickin' point? I'd rather just use some frickin' Visine in my eyes and just exactly. be done with it. I mean, you look at some of these medications and you see side effects may cause death, right? Well, what the hell is going on here?
The thing is, drug companies now are being forced to tell any and all side effects when they advertise these drugs. And when they do their testing, if only one person has this effect, they still have to report it. Now it's like, okay, if one person had it and they have a sample size of say 1,000, that's one person out of every 1,000. How many thousands of people are going to take this drug and die from it?
Exactly.
You know, with the dry eye thing, I agree. It's like, you know, there's some of these things that for like headache, you know, the migraine headaches and things like that, which I get, they're like, well, it could cause this. It's like, thanks, I'll take the migraine and be done with it in a few hours.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And it's like, then you have to take a medication to counteract the side effects of the other medication, which then is going to cause more side effects. And so you need another. It just goes on and on, and it's done on purpose. It's done intentionally.
Exactly. That's why anymore, the only drug I actually take on a consistent basis is ibuprofen.
Right.
Which can cause liver damage. Okay, I'll accept that. If I have anything more serious, I actually go to my brother, who is a registered herbalist, and say, hey, what can you do for me here? As a matter of fact, I need to get over there because I've got some issues going on with my elbow, and say, hey, what type of tincture, poultice, or whatever can you do for me here? And if you bring that cayenne stuff out, I'm going to throw it at you.
Anyway, see, you brought up something earlier, though, when you were talking about your son, about the effects that happen when somebody is on a medication, for instance, while they're giving birth or, you know, while they're pregnant. This is something that I've been talking about for a really long time. The fact is that we do a lot of things to our bodies, medications over the years. We inject ourselves with these different vaccines. Well, we don't inject ourselves, but you get the point. We expose ourselves to all of these different things. What does that do to us genetically, and how does it change our children later down the line or their children? You see, the problem is that with a lot of these medications that are coming out, there's been no research done on the long-term effects of this drug. There's no studies that are done on, okay, well, you took this medication when you were 20. What happened to your child that was born at 30?
Exactly. I mean, it's Zoloft is the antidepressant that my ex-wife was on.
Oh, you mean the one that gives you suicidal thoughts?
Bingo. And you believe me, it definitely did with her. You should see the journals I have of hers. Whoo. You know, let's put it this way. Edgar Allan Poe and Sylvia Plath had nothing on her. Wow.
Yeah, but see, that's again the ridiculousness of it. I'm depressed. I'm going to take this pill. Now I want to kill myself. What the hell did it help? You'd have been better off not even taking the damn pill to begin with.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, anymore, and again, this goes back to our earlier discussion of insurance companies. They don't want to pay for what a proven treatment that actually works with depression, talk therapy. They want the quick, simple, easy fix. They want them to shove a pill down their throat and get on with their life.
You know, every person that I've ever known over the years that has done anything as far as marijuana is concerned never has a problem with depression.
Well, let's look at that one. There is one person we know that does marijuana that does have a problem with depression, but the reason she does is because she takes an antipsychotic and then smokes weed.
Yeah, well, that's neither here nor there. Yeah, exactly. But you get my idea, though.
That's called an adverse drug reaction.
Yeah, you get my idea, though. The fact is that there are a lot of things that we could do for ourselves to treat ourselves or to help ourselves that we're prevented from doing because somebody else claims, oh, well, no, this is bad for you. And it goes again into that whole eggs are good, eggs are bad, eggs are good, eggs are bad.
Well, it's like me. You know, I recently am in the process of quitting smoking. Now, the tobacco products that we use now are so far bad for you that it is not even close to funny. But people have been smoking for thousands of years.
In one way or another, yeah.
Right. When it was just pure tobacco, somebody got a little depressed. Puff on a pipe. Tobacco is a stimulant. It actually helps lift you out of a depression state. If they wouldn't have fiddled and farted with it, made it into this chemical hodgepodge of crap, have a smoke.
Yeah, there's at this point over 7,000 different chemicals that are within one cigarette. Yeah.
And most of those are in the paper that it's wrapped in.
Yeah, especially now that they do the whole fire retardant papers. Well, listen, Joe, actually, we are just about out of time, unfortunately. Again, this has gone so quickly, and I hate that it goes so quickly with you because I really had so much more that I wanted to touch on. We are definitely going to have to do this conversation again in the near future, because
very true,
this is a subject that is so important. And these are things that people just, they don't get the full information about. They don't, they listen to the people in the white lab coats with the letters and the numbers behind their names, and they believe them, and they're lying. They're lying every step of the way because they are bought and paid for. They are whores to the pharmaceutical industry.
Oh, definitely. Definitely whores to the industry.
And it's a sad state of affairs. So, Joe, any final thoughts regarding all of this? I'm giving you the floor here for a couple of minutes to get out whatever it is that you want to get out about it.
Well, the only final thoughts I have are, you know, when it comes to vaccines, when it comes to drugs, when it comes to anything medical, do your own research and stay away from WebMD. There are so many different resources out there as far as information on vaccines, as far as information on drugs. And there are natural alternatives to almost every single drug that you are going to be prescribed. There are natural alternatives. Look for them. Try to find them. Do your own research. Am I saying don't go to your doctor? Don't listen to your doctor? Don't trust your doctor? No. But trust, but verify. Look at your options before you just say, okay, cut me open, or okay, I'll take this pill. There are alternatives.
Yeah, with thoughts on that, just to toss my thought in there, I say amen, brother, definitely. But I will also add in the fact that the doctor that you go to is not you. They don't have to live with the consequences of whatever it is that's going on with you. So it is up to you to verify that what they're saying is correct and that what they're saying is right. You have every right to get a second, third, fourth, and 25th opinion if you so desire to. Do it, because it's your responsibility to take care of your own body. And that's what I'll say on that subject. Joe, any final words for the people?
Nope. Just as I've said before, you know, live your life without fear. That is what the Dark Masters, that is what every one of these big corporate conglomerates want. They want you afraid, they want you cowering, and they want you to live your life in fear and look to them to save you. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Stand up, open your eyes, and find your path, and do it without fear.
Exactly. You look at the language that they use and the emotive things that they say, you will see the fear mongering that they do, the scare tactics that they do. They want you on your knees underneath the table at the master's feet, like some lap dog that is just begging for the scraps of information that they deign to give you. You don't have to live that way. You have the internet at your fingertips. Stop using it to look at kitten videos. Actually use it to learn something and educate yourself on how to take care of yourself, how to take care of your family, and how to actually live happy and healthy with no fear of anything. So guys, if you want to send me an email, I really encourage it. You can send it to feedback@openeyesnetwork.com. If you want to go to the show notes for this show, which will have links to a lot of different studies, a lot of different things that I've found over the past few years regarding all of the stuff that we've talked about tonight, especially in regards to the vaccine safety issues, please go there and take a look. They will be at openeyesnetwork.com/OE059. I beg and plead, please go there and take a look and educate yourself on what all is happening to us because of this medical lies that are told to us. If you want to reach us on Facebook or Twitter, you can go to Open Eyes Network on both of those platforms. On scene.is, we are at Ira Robinson. I make it pretty easy to find us, right? Stick around with us. Michael Vera will be broadcasting late night in the Midlands in just a few minutes. And be sure to tune back in on Monday. I'm not sure exactly what the topic will be yet. I will release that information on Saturday. But I will be broadcasting again at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on latenightinthemidlands.com, as well as our radio affiliate, K98 Talk. Awesome. Really appreciate all of you guys. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, keep safe out there and have fun. And thank you again so much for listening. Be sure to tune in Monday, 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, latenightinthemidlands.com.